And I said this was our Father. In the name of Jesus, we receive revelation, insight, clarity from the written word. As we hear the word, we are changed, we are transformed, and we are educated. We walk in the light of your word every day. Amen. Glory to God. So we're looking at Christian faith and material wealth. The Christian faith and material wealth. And this will be the 10th section. Section number 10. This is getting dark. What happened to the other light? Okay. Hallelujah. So Matthew 28. This is back to Matthew 28. Okay. Jesus came spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Just a quick review and a quick recap. We said, when this will be the closing remark of Jesus within the 40 days, he gave them instructions. When he told them, he gave them instructions. And that instruction was is the instruction of scriptures, we said, right? Because Jesus will read from scriptures. So it will be the instructions of scriptures, Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. That's what we find as instruction. Make disciples, preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Make disciples, preach the gospel. Mark will put it as, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. You see that? In my name they will cast out devils. So it will be the instruction to make disciples by preaching the gospel. You see that? By preaching the gospel. And Luke will call the gospel of God of repentance and remission of sins. Luke 24 from verse 47. He says, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name. That when a man believes, his sins are forgiven him. John chapter 20. He said, whosoever sins here, forgive or forgive. Hallelujah. So I say this to say that you must learn to read scriptures together. Read, especially the synoptic. Read them together. It answers more of your questions. I know some people that say, I've seen contradictions in the synoptic. I've tried to explain that to us sometime in one of our teachings. I said, no, those are not contradictions. Amen. I said, those are not contradictions. Actually, like you say, maybe you find somewhere in Matthew where Matthew said in the evening, and another part you say in the morning. You say, can't they be known? I told you that they were not written, these things were not written when the event was unfolding. Hallelujah. They were written years after it has happened. So you would, and that is why the Bible is a very honest book. Hallelujah. You will find also in writing human, like I would call it, human errors, like in times of days. I said, but why here did he say morning? Well, yeah, he said evening. Can I remind you? How many of you could remember what I wore during GPLR 2021? How many of you can remember? So that is just like how many years ago? How many of you can remember what I wore? So you can't even remember. Imagine then there was no camera. Hallelujah. Amen. I asked the question one time. I said, when I was teaching patriarchal and feminism, where is God? I asked us, at what time did I start teaching? At what time did I finish? Now imagine when I said, he taught from morning into the evening. As well as I said, he taught from morning into Tuesday. There's contradiction. What is the contradiction? It's just in summary, he taught long hours. Right? Right? Because you did keep tabs of the signing. Did you keep tabs of it? Hallelujah. So you find those, but those are not contradictions. Those are not contradictions. I told someone that those are, you find that the Bible is a honest book. Hallelujah. You find those kind of things. But you must learn to read them together. Because there are no contradictions. Read them together. It complements themselves. If I were going to see something this evening, that complements. And you read, you see, because I will read from
Mark, Matthew, and John. And you see the whole picture.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let you read scriptures together. I've said that to us always. Hallelujah. Amen. Someone said to me, he said, why did Matthew say make disciples and Mark didn't say make disciples? Mark said preach the gospel. Luke didn't even mention gospel. He mentioned repentance and forgiveness of sins. But if you see the way we've read them together, you will see that, it makes sense. Right? Right? So how does one become a disciple? By preaching the gospel. The reason that is the same structure, but captured differently. Hallelujah. Captured differently. How do we make one disciple? And many of times, what you see written as a ceteris is we are not writing verbatim. Sometimes, it was a whole full teaching, a whole teaching. They will just, and let's say in the whole teaching, something that some people will call main text today. Where they say, what is our main text? You know, some people do that. Our main text is, right? So that what the starter's main text doesn't mean that that's the only text they're going to read. Right? But it's that main text so that you'll be able to see, this is where he's reading from. Did you see that? This is what he reads from. And then he reads into this and that and that. So what they do is that they pick a subject title for what he's reading. Hallelujah. And I showed us in Matthew 12. If you read the Matthew's account of it, when they came, Matthew 21, and they came to ask Jesus, what is the great commandment of the law? And Matthew will record that Jesus responded and said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your... love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, what Matthew has done that is that he's telling that Jesus read from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. But when you read Mark's account, Mark will pick it from verse 5, a verse before. Sorry, Matthew said Jesus is reading from Deuteronomy 6, 5. Mark is saying no, he's not saying no, sorry. Mark is saying, Mark will pick it from verse 4. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. He can't. He said, you love the Lord with all your heart. Did you see that? So, making you see that the way they wrote is that they wrote in subject. They are picking that so that you see that Jesus read everything. Did you see that? This is where he read from, everything. And then, he also read from Deuteronomy into Leviticus. So, it is more like a teaching. They ask him a question, and the way a Bible student should answer is not to give you the right answer. Yes or no, yes. No. You have to teach it from scriptures. So what Jesus did wasn't teaching. Yeah, he taught from scriptures and they will record it in subject matter or subject matter. Hope you are following me. So that means where he answered them from will be, you have to read from the children and read what is Moses saying in the children. That was how Jesus answered them. Hope you are following me. And you find things like that in scriptures. So never be in a quick or in a... Never allow yourself to be in a fix when it comes to answering Bible questions. Learn from your disciples. Amen. You have to learn to teach. And then understand the fact that how they wrote. They wrote in... They understand... See, they were not writing... Now I told you. The writers of scriptures didn't... They're not writing to you. They have their audience. And with their audience, they had that assumption that their audience understood how they were writing them. Do you see that? It's you today that don't know how they write them. And you have to get yourself acquainted with how they write them. And their mode of writing. So their mode of writing was to write in subject matter. Amen? So you should know that when the writer is quoting and he's saying Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6. He's not telling you Jesus just quoted one verse. No. He's a teaching. Amen? So you have to read everything. He's telling you go back and read everything. In fact, not Deuteronomy 6 you're going to read. Amen? Amen? Amen. Because Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses, I told you. So, when they make that quote, they're making you see that, this quote is written somewhere in Deuteronomy. So you have to go back and read everything to see what Jesus is saying. Hope you're following me here. That helps you as you study. Glory to God. So we began looking at Christian faith and material wealth. And we'll discuss what Christian faith is about. I'll just run through a few. We said the Christian faith is not about going to heaven.
I want to emphasize this. The Christian faith is not about going to heaven, but the Christian faith is about heaven.
Get that?
It's not about going to heaven, but about heaven. God's heaven in all the earth.
Hallelujah.
God's heaven in all the earth. You must learn to see that. And in
achieving that in all the years,
he makes us his, or he gives us a function as his abad. His abad. Where you find the word his priest. I still know I'm going to teach you on priesthood and sacrifice. Amen. As his priest. As his priest. So we are his priest. Abad. And what is his role? What is the role of priesthood? We say is in the preaching of the gospel.
Hallelujah.
You mustn't mistake
it. In the preaching of the gospel. He's advancing God's kingdom in all the earth. Because that is God's desire from the Genesis. All the earth. God's desire from Genesis is all the earth. Glory to God. So let's move ahead one bit. Just a bit. So we began looking at material worlds. What is God's purpose? Like I said to us, I said several times, many people hold God on account of what is in front of them.
Yeah, some people, how many people use it this way? Some people got born again under a lie. And when you get born again, God is going to give you all the miracles in the nation. Don't you know? Let me quote
the Battle Act. Said, don't you know that the wealth of the nations are in the church?
If you are in the world, if you are still in the world, man, listen to this, because the wealth of the nations is in the church. That's why you have to be born again. You get this? How? So if I get born again, I'll receive wealth. Yes! The happening guy before the world is in the church. And the guy gets born again, especially as he gets born again, money hits his account. But money for what? We fell out of us. I don't know. We're getting born again.
He's waiting for, what is the bonus for getting born again? That's subscribed. And there's no bonus in his account. Instead, the next thing he saw is card maintenance. Pa minus. He saw debit a lot. And he said, what?
I said, wow. I thought when I get born again, I'll get oil company job. And, well, sorry, you will come. Because the Christian faith is not about that. Hallelujah. The Christian faith is about God's action. Yeah. How about getting so much faith that the person is born again, speaking in tongues, full of the Holy Ghost, and you have to never get it? That is what Christian faith is about. God's action, yeah. Some people think, oh, the reason why I'm born again is so that I can get a job in Shell. Sorry. Sorry. This man got a job is under the tree.
They are slacking. Well, God, you promised me for my people's friend. You promised that you will carry my load.
God, where is subsidies? God!
Somebody was still complaining in the car while I was calling and I said,
this man gave the idea too hard.
I said, no, have hope.
He said, we do hope.
I said, no, you guys are missing
it. Is this what they promised us? Even the person who wanted to enter, if he had entered, he'd say, let's stop this thing ourselves. When we get out of politics, let's leave politics. When we leave politics, let's tell ourselves the truth. Nobody becomes the president and king of the world. Some is deceived. All of them is deceived. But different ends.
Don't get deceived. Don't get too emotional because social media. There's no way even you.
Make you president. The better thing you give contact in the past. You don't know. You didn't tell you that your car will become president tomorrow. Or wife or governor. I will just be happy. My tongue will change.
I will be right.
You think I will.
I love them and I'm like, I'm eyeing Benz.
I'm looking at the Benz too. I say, yeah.
You shall be.
I can do anything. You don't know. How do you have a company? I will make it fast. I'm not giving you contract. I will do any job.
As long as there's on track.
Yes!
Oh, you think she'll carry it and now and give?
She will first of all do some of the people that she knows. But don't stop thinking they will think of you. You'll be surprised even Dr. Su will now open a company and say, okay, you know what? Felicia, to sue your own company, I'll sue your own company. I'll just remove the money. You say, ah, woman of God, maybe don't do it.
No, don't worry. Let me offer you a job. And they say the job is 2 million. I say no. I'm a child of God. Give me 100,000.
Ah, your father, I'll send you away.
You don't know.
So calm down.
If you don't like money, I'll give you my account number. You have my account number. Translate. I'll help you spend it. Stop saying something.
Some things are just very, very nasty for people, isn't it? Hallelujah. So some people many times begin to petition God for things they thought He promised them that He never did. And people get, innocently get angry. Their innocently get angry because they were scammed. So we just to meet up numbers of people that they want for the week. But it's coming. Be careful.
Hallelujah.
And he said, oh God, you promise. You promise in your word. Yeah. Say this with the wealth of the nation. Swear. You know the power of God has done. Swear. He did job. How? Say, God, you promise. You will go for the coin, you will clean it, fall by bank account and not increase. How did he promise you? Someone sent me an old video I saw years back and said, he said, a very stupid atheist in my office. Just sent to me. He said, when I said, you are not aware. Oh, you think this is going to scare me? I've seen this in over 10 years, so you're just seeing it now. Then someone said he was going to petition God. And then you are mad. He said, you have to petition God.
Why would God use war?
Doesn't God understand? What did they call this thing? Amnesty. Doesn't God know that the other way to settle this is why war? You and him, he has a crazy. That was on water. I said, he has a crazy. When I saw him, he said, I'm not starting. I'm not all your friends. You know, just, and he looked at our war. I just told him, see, the reason why you have blockage is because you don't, you know, there's a way they would tell you things and you need research. Instead of some people just woke up and thought, Adam is an apple. And they believe this is the one, but they see apple that came from Adam that they never knew. And it's the same way. It's like, because they told you that God caused the world. Because this was the same person telling me God is behind the belief that God is behind Russia and Ukraine. I think you are mad. So he now showed me that as a proof. And I said, I'm not going to talk to you about that. But let's just even go back to history. Clearly. So let's even look at history. Leave God aside. Right, let's go back. And we just went back a bit. Just a bit. And I thought what I'm showing him was even within the science age. I went back a bit and saw how they live. Now they pause. Just pause. So, how would you put an eye for an eye now? He said, an eye for an eye is good though. Can you see? Can you see? An eye for an eye is good. Now after them, put it in the place of war and don't disturb me. How about I just say, put it in place of war and don't. Because I just showed them what was obtainable in their wives. I said, before you read things, both the scripture was written in their world, not in your world. So the mistake you make is to read it in your world. Read it in your world. You read it in your world. Then the man be killed by the side of Jesus is Paul's father, biological father. That is your world. They say, my old man. Your father that is old man. I've always said that to people. He's not my father. My father is a young boy.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So we began looking at, is there anything called miracles of provision, right?
does God provide? That's where we were last week. Right? How does, before we got there, we said, how do, we said, first of all, that being wealthy and Bible acknowledges, the word I'm going to tell you, being wealthy is by human engineering. Being wealthy is human engineering. Is there, and we saw it from scriptures, that people got wealthy by working. Working. Got wealthy by working. People got wealthy by wealth being transferred to them. So don't get, you know, someone said he's angry. Why did that? His father was not a poor home. I said, what is your problem now? He said, why was I not born in US? And I told him, no, US is too far. Why were you not born in Cotonou? Joseph, no. Because if you think to the front, think backwards too. Why were you not born in Cotonou? Why were you not born in Ajegunle? When that is small. Why do you think nonsense? Sometimes, I don't even think it's amazing. So we were born into wealth, and they continue to work. But say no, the person was born into wealth. Eh? Somebody had to work for that person to inherit the wealth. Hope you know that. So right now to work, now your own children will inherit your wealth. Stop being stupid and think.
Do you understand?
Work for the way you inherit your wealth. But scripture recognizes that being wealthy was from human endeavors.
What about you, lady? You work with your hands. Scripture teaches us to work with our hands. Don't lazy about it. Bible warns us not to help those who live. Who are lazy? Don't even see you work. But what you are working is not really providing enough. Then we can help. Did you get it? See your pastor, I go to work. See, I don't like to see them cross my leg and say, bring tea. Bring an animal. Bring. But I have to work. I have to lay an example for you.
Okay, everybody.
Walk.
Hallelujah. But make sure you are working. Hope you are following me. Make sure you are working. So, what are they going to say? That in as much as we've separated it, some will say, Abraham's blessings are mine. And in their Abraham's blessing that is here, they are thinking of money. And I told us, again, that was the first section. We differentiated between the blessing. Right? We look at blessings in scriptures. And we say blessing in scripture has got nothing to do with material things. So Abraham being blessed by God has nothing to do with material things. In fact, Abraham was wealthy before God called him. So before you start thinking, Abraham's blessings are mine, and me and my friend can't change it because we already know Abraham's blessing is okay, not that I think him for something else. Hallelujah. It's not right I think it. Amen? But that's something. But Abraham was very wealthy before God called him. Very wealthy. You hope you are following that. So Abraham's blessings are about God's tax in the earth. Hope you are following me. So next time you think Abraham's blessings are mine, and you are still sitting there not doing evangelism, you are a stingy fellow. Go outside and do evangelism. That is Abraham's blessing. Abraham's blessing is that he's a prophet. That is his blessing. Hope you are following me. The blessed is he that blessed him. That is they that received the gospel. Cursed is he that cursed him. They that reject the gospel. How are you following that? Hallelujah. Now we're going to what I'm going to teach you today. So, we're not talking about therefore, since we've separated it, is there anything called miracle of provision? Does God provide? Right? Does God provide? He's going to say that, okay, man's provision is only meant by man's endeavor. Can God provide? Did you do that? And we began looking at that last week. We said God can. And it will be futile. It will be stupid of a man to believe God and don't believe God can meet his needs. Right? And does not believe that God can meet needs. And last week I began telling us that God has a mechanism in place in scriptures to meet needs. And it's there in scriptures. It's in place. But we want some miracles of provision. And I said, if you ever think you will leave your house, anybody has thought of that is lazy and very lazy. And I don't want to say more than that, very lazy. He just say, I just feel like you just wake up and see a bag of money. I say, if you ever walk anywhere, or you are anywhere, you come out of your house any day, and you see a bag of money, dollar, because it's always dollars you have in your mind, not naira, because naira, naira, the value is going down in the market. So the dollar just open, Ghana must go. It's Nollywood that is doing it. Ghana must go. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I think you should return the money. Okay, hear me. It's not your own. You are driving a car. Somebody forgot money, wallet. Is that your car? Wallet. And in the wallet, you now see money. You now remove the money and fling the wallet where you see. Carry the money, carry the wallet. If there's a number there, you call the number. If there's no number there, you call it to the police station. So what if the police will eat? Is it your eating? Return it. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
It's very vital. And it's very important that you are taught to return things back. Because it's not yours. You didn't work for it. Okay, wait a minute. There's other people work in organizations and to try every money that is there. Amen. So let's continue. So we now said, can God provide? We began looking at God's provision. Right? And we looked at it from Jesus. Now we looked at Jesus, miracle of provision. We look at John 2. We're going to look at that shortly. We'll look at all those things again. So first of all, we said miracles are supernatural and are spectacular. Miracles are supernatural and spectacular. Miracles are supernatural and spectacular. They are called miracles because they are an interjection in the natural course of order. They are an interjection in the natural course of order. They are called miracles because they are not regular. They don't have, miracles are not the regular or the normal way. It's just an interjection. Supernatural, spectacular. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we saw the last time that miracles of provisions wasn't a regular occurrence. Miracles of provision was not a regular occurrence in the ministry of Jesus. They were a few, and we looked at all of them, right? Therefore, it is an exception. Miracles of provision is an exception. Why? Because we saw what Jesus used the miracles to do. Hallelujah. We saw what Jesus used it to do. We're going to run through that shortly. They were to point to something else. He used those miracles of provision to point to something else. And the last time we saw that there was no time where they had multiplication of money. Money did not multiply. Rather, what they had, the miracles they had, was for edibles, what was eatable. There was no time money multiplied. And this shows you something very vital. That God does not do Ponzi. Okay, yeah. God doesn't do Ponzi. And you need to settle it. God doesn't do Ponzi. God doesn't do Forex. Oh yeah, okay, yeah, let me. Ponzi is man-made. God doesn't do money doubling. See? Give God 10,000, say get 20,000. He's thief. He's thief. So when you give, oh, look at that. God listened to our teaching on giving and receiving. We say, well, yeah, what about that? We say, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure shall be together. Running over. We don't be dancing. So when I give God 100 naira, if you need 1,000 naira, where's your 10 naira? Put your 10 naira. God will make you 1,000. See, only in me. Is God's house money double? So God will help you 1,000. Nonsense. Amen. I will saw that when he said, give it, I'll be giving unto you. Good measure, for that you give together, and one of us, amen, give unto you. That bosom was talking about judgment. Go and listen to that message. So I'm pointing you back to that message. I'm not going to teach it. I've taught it. Amen. He's talking about judgment. Human judgment system. He said, the one measure which you met out shall be met back to you. So the same measure. So it's a reminder. So it's a, yeah, but you shall be giving something. And you are using it to give offering in church.
Oh my shield. It is well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So, rather, God doesn't do money doubly, but rather, the miracles of provision was to meet immediate need for sustainability. Not for being well. Nobody that Jesus that received miracle of provision in the ministry of Jesus got wealthy because they received ministry. I mean, because they received the miracle of provision. The miracle of provision didn't make anyone wealthy. Come here, hear me. Didn't make anyone wealthy at all. So you have to be careful.
Have to be careful. Something again you would see is after the resurrection of Jesus, we didn't have in the book of Acts and in the epistles of any time they had miracles of provision. Does it mean it's not? No. But it was not recorded for us. To make you know that it was not irregular. What happened with that? To make you see that it was not irregular. It wasn't mentioned again after that of Jesus.
But yet, there was a mechanism in place already. By Jesus. Or by God. And that is very obvious for you to see, because the miracles of Jesus used it to point to his work in salvation. John chapter 2. In John 2 from verse 1 to 11, the wedding at Cana. What did Jesus use it to point to? In John 2. Look at John 2, verse 11. And John writes it beautifully for you to see. He said, this is the... Now remember, he pointed first to his resurrection. Right? They have no wine. And the mother,
he called her that they have no wine. And Jesus said, woman, what have I to do with you? He said, they now said to her, my hour is not yet come. I was saying his hour, they were talking about his resurrection. So that miracle was to point to what will happen in the resurrection, that man will receive the new wine. Then in verse 11, he now says this. He said, the biggest beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Did you see the reason for the miracles? His disciples believed on him. So the miracle was to the end that his disciples will believe on him. Amen. Amen. In Luke 5, he met Peter and his associates, and they had a very big catch. Did you remember that? We saw that last week. They had a big catch. And what did Jesus say? What did he say afterwards? He says, follow me, for you will catch men. Right? That will make you fishers of men. That was the reason. So he used that to show them how they would have great catch of men. Did you see that? Amen. So that miracle of provision for them to have fish was not for that they would be having fish here. It was to point to what they would do in the resurrection. And in Acts 2, 3,000 souls were saved. It was not hard for you to say in Acts chapter 3, men got saved. Acts chapter 6, multitudes. Did you see that? Everywhere. So for them to say that now they are catching men alive. Did you see that? Not fishes, but now men. But take note of these two miracles of provisioning. For that one, there was no wine, and Jesus turned water to wine. Watch that. He turned water to wine. He didn't say that the man that had did the wedding, after the wedding now had a tanker full of wine. It's not kumu, it's wine. So at what point? He wasn't using it for commercial. They didn't have a tanker full of it. Amen? They drank it there, he finished there. Everybody came out and went home. Amen. So that means the wine finished. This that was not for sustainability, but to meet an immediate need. I said something that was for sustainability, right? So it was not for sustainability, but to meet an immediate need. Did you see that? Amen. Amen. To meet a need.
They didn't use it for commercial values. The same way to Peter. In fact, I told you something about Peter last week. Right? Amen? Amen? Peter, after they had a great catch, you never heard that Peter became the wealthiest man in Israel. No. He had a great catch. He sold it and it was over. He had fish. They sold fish. And after what? Continue. In fact, Jesus didn't hand over. Whenever I say this, I just remember Sunday. Jesus didn't hand over his mother to Peter but to John. And he was saying it to my friend. And we said it to him, Jeremiah. He hand over his mother to Peter. He handed it to John. Because Peter said, sit down and go to thine own. That is always not having money. How is that a doctrine? Amen. But we are more rascals there. Rascals. Ah! Did you see? So Peter wasn't wealthy. Like, this miracle didn't make him wealthy. That's what I mean. I didn't say he wasn't wealthy. Amen. In John 6, he multiplied bread. He multiplied bread. And why did he multiply bread? I mean the bread. If we read John 6 very well, he said to them, your father ate manna in the wilderness and they are dead. He said, but this is he. So he referred to himself as the manna, as the bread that the prophet spoke about. So what they ate was a figure of what? Of him. He's the essence of what the prophet spoke about. Hallelujah. So he now said, he that believes on he that will eat of his bread will live forever. Did you see that? That's John 6. So he uses the point about to his work in redemption. Which was something else. We have in Matthew 15, so there was another multiplication of bread. Hallelujah. And it was to the end that they should believe on him. If you look at that John 6 where he multiplied bread, it didn't mean that when he multiplied bread, Jesus himself wasn't eating miracle bread. Wasn't eating miracle food. He was eating normal food. In John 5, before he gets to John 6, he sent his disciples to go and buy him food. Did you see that? He sent them to go buy him food. Just that Jesus was not eating miracle food. You said, give yourself bread. Jesus wasn't eating miracle food. He sent them to go and buy him food. Believe he got hungry. And he said, man, I'm hungry. Father, send me manna. Manna! No. Lord, pizza! Chocolate pizza. Shawarma. He gave them money to go buy his food. Hallelujah. But when they came back with his food, Jesus said he was no longer hungry. He now asked, is it that somebody has given him food to you? Did you see that? Did you see that? That means Jesus had people giving food. In Luke 10, he went to the house of Mary and Martha gave him food. What are you saying that? So you must be ready to see those things. Amen. Amen. He went to the house of Zacchaeus. They didn't serve him food like some people would do. When you see them coming with trail of food, they are not sitting there and they are watching football. When that's now, look at the food I eat. They are see them giving food. You just cut your eye. So Jesus didn't go to Zacchaeus and say, no, it's he ate. Amen. Yes. So very right now, they will start John 21 also. He multiplied fishes to them. Hallelujah. You didn't hear that after John 21 multiplication of fish, they now had fish industry. No. No. He finished there. Hallelujah. So the miracle of provision was figurative of what Jesus did in redemption. Hallelujah. And that actually then shows you why really there was no record of this in the book of Acts. They didn't actually record it. Hallelujah, if they had. Let's see one more. Let's see one before the incarnation. That is in 2 Kings. 2 Kings quickly. 2 Kings 17. 2 Kings 17, let's rush quickly to 2 Kings 17. Yeah. Amen. Quite a number, quite long. But basically, this is Elisha being fed by the ravens. Now it says, and the king of Assyria found conspiracy. Sorry, I said 2 Kings. That should be 1 Kings. 1 Kings. Let me see where the Assyrians come inside it. Oh, verse 4. Are you with me? Okay. Verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself from the by the brook's chariot that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brooks I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So when he went and did according to the word of the Lord, that he went and dwelt by the brook's chariot that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and the bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brooks. And it came to pass after a while that the brooks dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Did you see that? Watch these two. One, and there's something you have to see in this miracle of provision here for Elijah. Is different from that of Jesus. How? Jesus made the miracle happen. That of Elijah wasn't the performer. Rather, Elijah was the receiver. You see that? Now, there was famine in the land, and God sent ravens to bring him bread and meat, morning and night. You see that? That's miracle. Bread. Ravens know where you are, and they just drop the bread. Phew! And you eat. You see that? They had that kind of miracle. Provision. You see that? Provision. And then, in the midst of it too, when the water was dried up because there was no rain, God sent him to a city for a woman to feed him. Watch that. Somebody had to sustain him. Did he consider that forever and ever, amen? No. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Therefore, showing you something again. Hallelujah. Was to meet an immediate need for that period. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Very, very vital. Look at the children of Israel. They were in the wilderness and they had nothing to eat. What did God do? He sent them what? Bread. Right? Right? Send them what you call manna, but it's actually bread. They called it manna, not God. They called it manna. Manna means what is this? But God sent them bread. And they ate bread. They were not supposed to take the bread to tomorrow, so they were not supposed to store it. Was to meet that immediate need. Hallelujah. Amen. To meet that immediate need. To sustain them for that period. But as soon as that period was over, did manna fall when they entered into the land of Canaan? Did manna still fall? No. Manna stopped. Hope you're following me. Was to meet a need. And not just meeting a need, they were pointers. Jesus will not use that, listen, Jesus will not use that to point to himself in John. He said, your father ate manna in the wilderness, and where are they? That was to point them towards
his work in redemption. He is the manna that comes from heaven. This is the bread that comes from heaven. He is bread to himself.
Hope you're following me here. Another one that people, especially prosperity gospel, have bastardized. 1 Kings 4. Okay, look at that 1 Kings 17 also. Let's look at that chapter 17 first. So, God sent him to a woman, right? Right? To sustain him. So he got to the woman in verse 12 and said, "Thy God liveth, I have not a cake." Now, the woman too didn't have anything, but a handful of meal in the barrel that, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah says, "Go." And he said to her, "Fear not, go, do thou as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first." Say, "Make for me first, and bring it to me. Then after, make for thee and thy son. And for thus says the God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the sayings of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Did you see that? And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which spake by Elijah. Did you see that? Amen. So, at this point, listen, some people read this verse, and that is the danger. When they will put up scriptures for you to read. I've heard somebody say, don't talk about this. He said, "Elijah said to the woman, the world all I have is just little food and oil that I will just eat, and me and my son will die." And Elijah, I'm telling you how someone has quoted it. Say, and Elijah said to the woman, "Go give me first." And the woman went and gave him, and said, "Now, because of what you have done," that the woman kept bringing barrels, kept having oil. She then began to distribute oil. Did you see it here? You didn't read your Bible to the end. They only just showed you. Say, "Do not dry up." So the woman became a distributor of oil. How? Did you see it in the Bible that became a wholesaler? God will sell oil in drums. Amen. In fact, they collapsed two different events into one. We're going to read the other one. Right? But you can say that they ate for many days, meaning it stopped, because it was to sustain them for that period. Did you see that? It was not supposed to be a regular forever. Hope you're following me. Was to meet an immediate need. That was the last, and there was no hope, and hope came, hallelujah, by the mouth of the prophet. And that was them. It was all. Did she receive a miracle of provision? Yes. Was it money? No. Was it edibles? Yes. Did you see that? So you can see that God has been meeting needs. I showed you one. Was it in this class? Or in Genesis chapter 3? Did I show you that last week? Did I show you that? No. That was during revelation of God. God provided for Adam and Eve after they sinned. Genesis chapter 3 verse 22. God gave them clothes. When they were naked, when they were asking to help with you, no, he gave them clothes. What about me? He gave them clothes. He clothed them. That's God. God provides. He's the provider. Hallelujah. He provides. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The same thing too in 1 Kings. So next time when somebody puts us scripture on the screen, open your Bible and read it. Amen. Don't say no. In my church, we don't use to. You know. The Bible is on the screen. It's not this screen. Night screen. Read it, whatever. Read precise process. Hallelujah. Read it very well. Understand it very well. You want to go? 1 Kings 4.
Are you there? Then they said, sorry, 2 Kings 4. Why am I missing this too? 2 Kings 4. Okay, he said, now they cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, thy husband is dead. Thy servant, thy husband is dead. And thou knowest that the servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Now that is how people pay in their world. That's how people pay for debts that you can't pay. If you can't pay, your children will be used as slaves to cover up the debt. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for this? He said, tell me, what hast thou in the house? And he said, thy handmaid only, has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Did you see that? Now what was the need? The children will be taken as slaves because the husband before he died was a debtor. Hope you are seeing that. And he said, go, borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, evil empty vessels, borrow not a few. Actually, the Hebrew didn't say borrow not a few. The Hebrew said borrow few. Amen. The Hebrew said borrow few. So it's not saying you go and gather drums from everybody. No, it's say borrow few. Amen. And when thou art come, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour it into those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and brought the vessel to her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me here a vessel. And she said to her, there is not a vessel anymore, and the oil stayed. You see that? That is, the oil stayed means the oil finished. Hope you are seeing that. It was finished. And when he came and told the man of God, and said, go sell the oil and pay the debt and leave thou and thy children on the rest. Did you see that she became an oil distributor? Did you see how people have collapsed two different scenarios together? And they were both to meet needs. Did you see that? They were both to meet immediate needs when every other alternative within the human sphere is failed or has failed. Hope you are following that. This woman, they are going to come carry her children to be servants. And then she met the man of God. And there was a provision. Hope you are saying that. Amen. That means you can trust God for provision. But it does not mean you will not live your life every day. You are no longer working. Trust God for provision. Come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. Did this oil stop? It stopped. Was it enough to meet a need? Yes. Did you see that? It was enough. That the children will not become bond servants anymore. Hope you are following that. Is it clear to you? Okay. Very vital. So something you must see is that it was to meet immediate needs, not commercial. You see that? She did not start a shell company just to meet that need. Sell off, pay your creditors, and you are fine. Feed on the rest, it will finish too. Did you see that? It will finish too. So that's it. The miracles of provision wasn't irregular. Hope you can see, it was not irregular, but are exceptions. However, was different from the miracle of healing. It's different from the miracle of healing that was common, that was common in places. Healings everywhere. Did you see that? Miracle of provision is different from that of healing. So what is the difference? In the ministry of Jesus, what is the difference between the miracle of provision and miracle of healing? Miracle of healing was more common, right? Right? It was in common places. Miracles of provision was exceptional. Did you see that? Two is the fact that miracles of healing, you need faith. Faith. In Mark 6, Jesus came to his own town. And the Bible says in Mark 6, they said, is this not the son of Joseph?
The sisters and brothers are living here with us now.
And the Bible says Jesus couldn't do any mighty works. Mark 6 quickly. Mark 6. Hallelujah. They offended at him, verse 4. And he said the prophet is without honor in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. Verse 5. And he couldn't do any mighty works there, save that he lay hands on few sick folk and healed them.
When you say Jesus couldn't do mighty works there, it means Jesus laid hands and people did not get healed.
Ah!
God, yes. Jesus laid, that means, hands can be laid, Jesus laid hands and people didn't heal. Bible says, and he marveled. The second time you find Jesus marveled. Jesus, the two scenarios where you find that Jesus marveled was at faith and at unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. He couldn't do what? God himself showed up, laid hands on people and they did not heal. Because they were of unbelief. This is that. So, when it comes to miracle of healing, faith is required. This is that. Hallelujah. Faith is required. Something that you see is the fact that just in chapter 5, Jesus did a miracle. In chapter 5, two miracles, the woman with the issue of blood, right? Say, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. And Jesus, when he did, she was healed, and Jesus said, thy faith has made thee well. At the same time, saying, news got to Jairus, that your daughter is dead. And Jesus said to him, he said, fear not, right? He said, he told him, you shouldn't be afraid, you shouldn't doubt, he said, only believe. Hallelujah. He said, fear not. That is the emphasis of Mark 5. Only believe. And your daughter shall be healed. And the daughter was healed because he believed. I hope you are seeing that. So the miracle of healing works with faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's something you shouldn't lose. In fact, when you get to the book of Acts, you see a lot of healing miracles. And you see faith. In Acts 3, the man at the gate got beautiful. When Peter was asked, he said, faith. He said, faith. He said, Jesus Christ said, and faith in his name has made this man well. Faith. For healing. Okay, following me. I'm trying to rush my notes now. Because of time.
Hallelujah. So man exercised faith to be healed in the ministry of Jesus and in that of the apostles. But not for provisions. Miracles of provisions is not that way. So when it comes to material possessions, something you must see is the fact that material possessions is within man's activities, not for you to believe. It's within man's activities. We're going to see that shortly. Amen. Amen. Within man's activities.
Man's participation,
or put it, man's activity is better rather than put it participation. That is to say, material provisions will come from men. This is, I'm talking about outside miracles, Jesus, outside the ministry of Jesus now. Outside the ministry of Jesus. Because Jesus' own was a pointer. Okay, follow me. Was a pointer to his works. Okay, follow me. Hallelujah. Will come from men. Let's see a few. Let's look at Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. Okay, if you're there, I'm going to read 24. It says, so let no man seek his own, but every man another man another's wealth. Are you there? So whosoever is sold in shambles, whosoever is sold in the shambles, which is meat market, it says that it asks you no question for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord. Look at verse 6, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe bid you to a feast, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye are disposed, be disposed to go, go. As I said before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man said to you, this is offered in sacrifice to idol, eat not for the sake of he that showed it, for the conscience sake of, I mean, sorry, for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He uses two times. He uses that thing twice. 26 and 28. He said, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Paul is reading from Psalms 24. What's Psalms 24 quickly? Verses 1. Psalms 24 verse 1. Let's see where Paul is reading from. Well, he says, this is the Lord. He says, Psalms 24 verse 1. Can you see?
Oh, it's nice.
Okay. Okay. He says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. The world and they that dwell in it. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Hallelujah.
That's verse 2. Let's stay on verse 1.
So the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. It says the world and they that dwell therein.
He's reading from Exodus. Exodus chapter 9, verses 28 to 29. The earth is the Lord.
So when he says the earth is the Lord, let's see what the psalmist is saying. When he said the earth is the Lord, he's showing that material things are of the Lord. See, sexually, material things are of the Lord. He's saying God put material things in place. Material things are resources of the earth. And since God is the creator of the earth, listen, since God is the creator of the earth, he owns material things. He puts material resources in the earth. Hope you're following me. God put material resources in the earth. It's God's creation. It's part of God's creation. Never forget that. Hallelujah. He puts it there. So that's why the earth is the Lord. Hope you're following me. He puts it there. So everything that is in the earth, material things, God is the source. But let's get back to Paul's context. What is Paul saying? Look at that 1 Corinthians 10. Let's see what Paul is saying. 1 Corinthians 10, 25. I mean 24. Or 25. He says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's way. Say, whatsoever is sold in shambles, that is, asking no question for conscience sake. Is that? For the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Say, if any of them that believe not, bid you to a feast. And ye are disposed to go. Whatever I said before, you eat, asking no question for your conscience sake. Now, what is Paul saying in context? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul is using Psalms 24, where he says, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, to emphasize that things that belong to God is being controlled by man. That's what he's saying. Because he says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And then he mentions man's wealth. He's making you see that though these things are resources put in the earth by God, but they are in the control of men. Hope you're following me. Amen. So you must recognize first that the things that are resources in the earth are from God. God puts it in the earth, but they are under the control of man. Do you see that? So that is why he now says in verse 28, if another man tells you, if another says to you, this is sacrifice to idols. So that means because it's under the control of man, man has the control of how to use it. Do you see that? Man has control of how to use the resources in the earth. So man can take it and offer it to idols. Hope you're following me. Man can offer it to idols because man has the control of it. For who owns it? He said the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Meaning the things that are in the earth are of the Lord. Or it's God that puts it there, but under the control of man. Hope you're following me. Amen. I'd like to put something else. Put it like this. Anything that you didn't get in salvation. Anything you didn't get in salvation. This is anything you didn't get in salvation.
Let me do a right, good choice of what to use. Okay. Anything you didn't get in salvation?
Eh? Or anything that is that an unbeliever can equally own without praying for it, without being born again to have it. Eh? Without being born again to have it,
shows you that it's within the control of man,
though the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Hope you're understanding that. Hope you understand that.
Okay.
An unbeliever works to get money. To buy things. Right? The sources of the earth. Right? So anything an unbeliever can get without
being born again, it shows you that was not the reason why Jesus died. The Jesus died for me to make money. No. You know, people do blood money to make money. I have the blood of Jesus. That's a better thing than blood money. Nonsense. The blood of Jesus is I remember one rascal preaching that. If there's blood money, then there's the blood of Jesus money. Nonsense. Amen. Not true.
Amen. Blood money that they do, that people go and kill people today, is just fatal riding on the foolishness of man and the stupidity of man. Okay. Amen. Let's continue. It's not for today. So, I said that to say this. Man is in control of the earthly resources and can decide who to give it to and who to offer it to. So hope you are hearing me. This is, So that shows that material possession or material provisions depends on man's activities.
Material provisions depends on man's activities. Material provision depends on man's activities. Let's begin to close. But I was hoping I could answer one question that comes to the mind of people several times. Amen. Material provision depends on man's activities. And we're going to explore this man's activities next week. Because within man's activities is where you find God's mechanism. Especially for believers. Hallelujah. For believers. Yes. Especially for believers. You find God's mechanism. Find it. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I'm showing this so that you will see that believers should not lazy around and think ravens will come and drop bread every day for them. Ha. My bed here. You will wait time. Amen. You will wait, eh? Your name will be waiter. You will wait, eh? Ha! God, some people now turn it to prayer. Oh God, you promise us in your word that ravens will bring bread. Continue waiting. God promise you that. We just wait for them as well. Let's work. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell someone, you also learn to have a tree. Then to have a handwork is good.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So a question that one would ask is, what about where Jesus says, look at Mark 11. And people, a lot of people do this. Mark 11. Last week I shared some personal experiences with you guys from some personal experience, right? But it doesn't mean that it's today, no. It's for that time to meet a particular need, right? Right? Okay, look at Mark 11 quickly. Mark 11, verse 3. Now, how do you call this? And Jesus said, for that says, whosoever shall turn to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, I shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he has said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say to you, what things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that they will receive them and they will have them. Now some people have gone ahead. Look at verse 11. And when ye stand, pray, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. Now,
so some people have said, okay, can't we pray majorly for things, money, things? Can't we say, Bible says, whatsoever you ask, whatsoever means anything without, with the exception of nothing. Amen. Ask. So some people have now turned their prayers to about things. I remember I showed us something on Sunday, right? Did I say something that you could believe God, right? For material things, and you can pray about it, but it doesn't mean that all your prayer will be material things. I don't want to. I'm trying to avoid that I can. Why I complement the teaching of Saturday, I mean Thursday and Sunday together. I don't want to cross over. Amen. On both of them. But in as much as you could have desire for things in the natural, it's not out of place to have desire, right? Right? It's not out of place to have desires to believe God for them. To believe God for things in the natural to get better. Believe God, right? For your needs to be met. It doesn't mean that the whole unbeliever's prayer life, because some people have turned their believer's life or prayer life to be about things. Don't you remember God when it's time for things? God, I need this, I need that, I need that. But that's not what the prayer life or the prayer pattern of believers is about. The prayer pattern of believers is not fashioned for life, for what you desire in the natural, really, or at all. Hallelujah. If you watch the prayer pattern of the disciples, or who the apostles, the prayer life pattern of Jesus, it was not for things. It was not for things. But do they have need for things in the natural? Yes. Do they desire for it? Yes. But that's not what prayer is about for. All the time. Or every, yeah, all the time. That's not what prayer is for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we could have desires that our needs are met, our bills are paid. Yeah, can have those desires and be strong about it. Hallelujah. Have those desires stronger and needs are met. It's a fear. We're going to deal with that. Hallelujah. And God meets our needs. Hallelujah. But this verse is not talking about our material needs. No. No. Hallelujah. If we look at the verse very well, Jesus was about the fig tree. Now read that side by side with John 2. John 2, Jesus was in the temple. Now that means Jesus spoke to the fig tree when he was going to the temple, right? When he was going to the temple, and in the temple he chased out money changers. Did you see that? And he says, make not my house a house for a den of thieves. Make not my house, and then my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have turned into a den of thieves. Did you see that? My house. So he spoke, he taught them. Now on coming out, back from the temple, Peter saw that the tree was dried up. And he said, Master, look at the tree in course, we're going to the temple. And Jesus said, have faith in God. That's what he said. Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, see that tree, I mean that counts yonder. And shall not doubt in his heart, shall receive. Now, he doesn't say that. Hallelujah. So you have to read in context, what is it about? First of all, the fig tree. He talked about prayer, and now they saw this, and then he now taught them again. So whatsoever, so whenever, when you pray, look at the tree. Sorry, verse 24. He said, now he, when he said that, he now said verse 24. These things, whatsoever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And ye shall have them. Look at what it now says. Look at what the prayer is for. It says, forgive. And when you stand pray, say forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive your sins. So that means, when he says forgive, like your Father will forgive. No, that is not how it's put. Forgive as your Father forgives. Did you see that? So that means, listen, he's using what has happened to the fig tree and he's teaching them forgiveness. What we are following now, to teach forgiveness. This has happened. And it is when you pray. So that means, I'm going to deal with this on Sunday. Amen. But I'm giving you a preamble. It is forgive. So that means, the prayer pattern there will be for God's forgiveness.
That's what the prayer pattern is about.
Yeah. So that desire is God's desire in Genesis.
Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Obey God's desire from the Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So therefore, what is God's mechanism to meet needs? What is God's mechanism to meet needs? In the book of Acts and in the epistles, what is God's mechanism to meet needs? How has God put that in place to meet our needs? Because you know what? God knows we have needs. And God has put that in place to meet our needs. And those, the way the need to be met will be called miracles. I said that to Ross. It will be miracles.
Because God has put that in place.
Hallelujah. Amen. Did Jesus have needs? Yes, he does. When he was in the earth. Oh, permit me, in the incarnation, that's better. When he walked the street of the earth. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 8 verse 3. And this is where we close. Then we'll pick it up for next week. Look at Luke 8 verse 3. And some of verse 2 is this. And a certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, of whom went out seven devils, and Jonah, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. It's just like Herod's, it's just like National Assembly. The wife of a senator. I agree. Did you see that? And Suzanne and many others which minister to him of their substance. Did you see that? They minister to him of their substance. So Jesus had needs. So the ministers met Jesus' needs with their money. Did you see that? So Jesus had needs. And God met his needs through men. You see that? Amen. Jesus was to be born. In Matthew recorded it. Was to be born. We're going to deal with all this next week. Jesus was to be born into the earth. Mary and Joseph were not wealthy. Jesus wasn't born into the house of the gate. So that person I say, why was I born in Nigeria? To give himself brain. Jesus was not even born in an inn, which is called an hospital today. He was born in a manger, where they give birth to animals. That's where Jesus was born. The King, the Lord, God, was born in a manger. Amen. Amen. Was born in a manger. But, that's what that was born in the manger. By the age of two. By the age of two. Who people call three wise men? Not three wise men. Wise men came from the east. Carrying, bearing three. All their gifts was tagged, can be tagged into three. Bearing three gifts. This is that wise men. They came. In fact, the way they came into the city, people knew that who came in. That they had to take them to Nero because they were looking for kings. Amen. And what did they do? They brought in substance to minister to the little boys. Hallelujah. God meets needs. The wise men were not told. The Bible didn't tell us that they were born again. But an angel appeared. Amen. An angel appeared. They couldn't have been born again. Why? Because, listen, they couldn't have been born again because Jesus had a reason. Hallelujah. But wise men from the east. You know, several people think that the wise men when they came was when Jesus was still in the manger, so wise men came. No. The people say, that day Jesus was born in October. You know, because the east. What did they go into? Why did they go into? The people are now plotting nonsense graph. So if Jesus was born in December, was born in October. I said, no, I was born in, somebody said it was August. But the wise men going around August, they are still missing. They didn't tell you the wise men came when Jesus was born. You know, did they tell you the wise men came on Jesus' birthday? No, it was not birthday celebration. But Jesus was king. Hallelujah. And how did we know? When the wise men, they returned back to Herod. Herod said, children from 2 years below. So Jesus was around that age of two. Hallelujah. He should be king. Amen. So they bore substance.
to minister to his seed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I know a lot of scholars have said that substance that they bought was sufficient for Jesus' childhood, to take him on to childhood. Don't know how true that was, because it wasn't written in the scriptures. But they ministered. What is important was that they ministered to his need. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is a miracle. Because these guys are not saved, but they saw angels. They saw angels. Like I said to you, you could believe God for provision. Amen. To meet your need, you can believe God. Also, you know, sometimes we'll get, well, I'm going to show us a few next week. Right? Some people, yeah, we always hear of believers, believers. Yeah, believers. We're going to actually deal more on believers, because, and it's going to take two sides. Right? The response of the believer and your response too. Right? Amen. To receive from the believer and for the believer to respond. But the same way, you can't still box God, because God can also use that on believer. Hallelujah. And it will be called miracle. Amen. Amen. It will be called miracle. I believe so. Hallelujah. And in this period, we receive supernatural provision. Amen. So I receive supernatural provisions. I receive miracles of provision for myself, my family, my loved ones. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Let's be on our feet. Do you believe that? My needs are met, my bills are paid. Do you believe that? You're not standing as though you believe it. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. 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 You know, you could get to that tight corner where you have bills to pay and it's tight. You don't know what to do. It will be tight, but you can still believe God. Hallelujah. Might be family wise. In the family, there's a bill that needs to be met and you don't know how to do it. It's so tough on you. It's so tough on family. You don't want people now to resort to doing it without a bill. No, we are a child of God. We have hope. We believe God. You know, when that kind of information is flying around, maybe from colleagues, how will we survive? No, don't join them. No, we're gonna get, how are we gonna survive? This is a very difficult, this is a very hard, $10 to $1,000. You just say, I believe God. My needs are met, my bills are paid. I believe God. My needs are met, my bills are paid. You know, I've seen it happen. God meets needs. And you have, remember I told you, this teaching is going to lead us into the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, you can be led the right way. My needs are met, my bills are paid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My needs are met, my bills are paid. My needs are met, my bills are paid. Hallelujah. I've been thinking of writing exams and there are no money. You know, I'm not being led to teach to direct your heart. I've been thinking of writing exams and there are no money. No money to write exams. Oh, there's no money. But I still believe God. I still believe God. Hallelujah. A believer does not stop believing God. That's why I'm called a believer. I believe God. Are you a fanatic of believing God? I'm a fanatic of believing God. I believe God. I believe God. See, I hang it all on Him. That is how the reason. That bill will be paid. Yeah, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God that things will turn out right.
I believe God. See, that problem will not consume you. No, it will not consume your family. No, it won't. It won't. It won't. That challenge will not come. It will not consume you. No. The family will not scatter. I'm telling you, it will not scatter. I'm speaking about the power of God tonight. I'm telling you, in this week, that will be next. I'm telling you, in this week. You see, you're not just calculating because you know how it's going to happen. No. You're not calculating because you have to talk fast. No. You cannot depend on God. You cannot depend on God. You cannot depend on God. My knees are bent. Hallelujah. Miracles abound. Miracles abound. We're in that season of miracles. And the church are in that season. Say, I'm in that season. I'm in that season. Just thank God. Thank Him because your knees are bent this week. Your bills are paid this week. Oh yes. Knees are met. Bills are paid. Just thank Him. Thank you. Oh, we're in the season. In your business, you can trust.